action that determines where you're going to go. But this verse, listen, write it down, take a picture, put it on something, put it on your bathroom mirror. This verse has massive wisdom in it. I've prayed about this. I've asked God to help me. I've asked God to bless me. Where's God? Last week, we began this series called Destinations, and we're talking about how to get to the place you want to get, how to get to the place I want to get in my life, in my marriage, in my career, with my finances, in my parenting. Because one of the things I've noticed, and you notice this too, there are people that say, man, I want to go here in this area of life, but they make choices that lead them down a path going that way. And so we talked about how direction determines our destination. It's your direction that determines where you're going to go. You can plan a camping trip. You can decide you want to go camping in the mountains. You can buy new camping equipment, get all the stuff that you need to be able to go. You can pray before you leave that God will protect you and keep you safe. But when you get to the end of the turnpike, if you go south on 75, you will never get to the mountains. Doesn't matter how much you prayed, doesn't matter what your intentions were, doesn't matter what your motivation was. It's all about your direction. It's your direction in life that determines your destination. And so the question this morning is this: how do I know that the path I'm on is going to lead where I want to go? If that's true, direction determines destination, how do I know that the path I'm on is going to get me where I want to be in these areas of my life? How do I choose that path? Because sometimes it's difficult to know. There's one verse in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has been called the book of wisdom. It is full of wisdom. And there's one verse that I want to walk through this morning and just sort of unpack, because this one verse has the potential to radically benefit your life and mine. This one verse has so much wisdom in it, it can actually help you and help me make a course correction in the areas we need to, where we actually arrive where we want to be in life. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3 says this: the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The prudent see danger, they see it coming, and they take refuge, but the simple keep going. It'll all work out, and pay the penalty. In fact, this could also be translated in the language, the end of this, but the simple keep going and suffer harm for it. So we never do this, but I think this is a great verse to memorize. You need this, I need this. So I want you to say it with me. Let's say it together. You ready? The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Let's say it one more time. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, just the first half of the verse, guys only. Guys, ready? The prudent see danger and take refuge. Now, ladies, just the ladies, ready? The prudent, y'all can do way better, ladies. Guys won. Ladies again. The prudent, that was awesome. Now let's all read it all together. Ready? The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. Now, left-handed people. No, I'm kidding. But this verse, listen, write it down, take a picture, put it on something, put it on your bathroom mirror. This verse has massive wisdom in it. Here's why. In this verse, there are two people and two responses and two outcomes. Two people, two responses and two outcomes. And the two people are you. It's the you of if you go this way, and it's the you of if you go this way. And the two responses, it's you, how you respond if you're going this way, or how you respond if you're going this way. And then the outcome that you get to live depending on your direction. The prudent see danger. They see it coming, and they take refuge. That word prudent can be translated wise. The prudent or the wise understand that life is connected. Life is linear. The choices that I made a month ago impact my life today. The choices I'll make today will impact my life tomorrow. If I start with A and go to B and go to C, then D is coming. Life is connected. The wise, the prudent understand that. That when my life is moving in a direction, it's natural, it's logical, it makes sense that it's going to go on in that direction. That seems obvious. And yet there are times when we want destination A, but we're living on path B, hoping path B will somehow get us to destination A. And it never, ever does. And then we wonder, where's God? I've prayed about this. I've asked God to help me. I've asked God to bless me. Where's God? The prudent, the wise understand that all of life is connected. So there's a question that you and I can ask that will help us understand how to stay on a path that leads to the destination that we want. In light of my past experience and my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? If I have to make a decision, in light of my past experience, where I've been, what I've seen, what I've done, and my future hopes and dreams, where I want to go in life, what is the wise thing for me to do? The prudent see danger and they take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The simple just keep going in the same direction. I know the last four times I was there that happened, but maybe the fifth time it won't. I know the 100 times I've logged on and gone to that, maybe this time I won't. Another word for simple in the language, it could be translated the naive. These people think that life is disconnected. It doesn't matter what I did yesterday. Today's a new day. It doesn't matter what I do today, it won't affect tomorrow. Each day stands on its own. Each circumstance stands on its own. So I live my life in moments. But you're never truly living in a moment. You're always living in a path. You're always moving in a direction, going somewhere. The prudent see danger and take refuge. They take refuge. The prudent, the wise. That means the prudent do something. Something has to happen. I've got to do something. I see what's coming, and I've got to do something about it. Years ago, Angie and I were in Nashville, Tennessee. We're just south of Nashville in Franklin. And I love motorcycles. I happen to own a motorcycle. Don't tell me about how you can die on one. You can die today from anything. It's fine. But listen, we decided, hey, we're going to rent a Harley and go on this road called the Natchez Trace. It's a beautiful road. A lot of people that ride motorcycles ride on this road, and it weaves through Tennessee and goes down into Mississippi, and you get on the Natchez Trace, and right where you get on, there's a little restaurant, if you're ever in Nashville, called Loveless Cafe. It's amazing. But we rented the Harley, huge Harley, radio cranked. We're going down the Natchez Trace, riding at none of your business miles an hour, and we're coming around this corner. It's windy and it's kind of mountainous. We come around this corner, and right as we come around the corner, and I had not been riding a motorcycle very long. We come around a corner. I'm on a huge bike. Angie's on the back, and there's one of these big highway mowers, but it's not in the grass. It's on the road, and there's about a foot and a half of pavement. That's it, and I'm supposed to navigate this bike. And I'm not that experienced. And somehow, I don't know, I guess because Jesus wanted us to hang out today, that he helped me get through that back then, somehow by the grace of God. But you know what I didn't do? You know what I didn't do? Oh, well, we'll see what happens. Nothing I can do. I know for some people they'd probably wreck if they run into this thing, but maybe it'll work out. I didn't do that. I did everything I could because of what I saw, the danger I saw. I did everything I could to avoid it. And somehow it worked out. The prudent do something. The simple just keep going. They just keep going. The simple think, I can drive toward a wall at 100 miles an hour, but I won't hit the wall. Somehow it'll work out. Something will happen. And listen, we get that. We understand this. When we're watching other people do this, it's so clear. We think, oh my gosh, I know where that relationship's going. I know where those decisions are going. What? They bought a $50,000 truck and they can't afford, what? I know where that's going. We see it in other people, but it's hard to see in ourselves because we don't want to have to change anything. The simple just keep going. And maybe you've known somebody and you cared about them and you had that conversation. And you said to them, hey, they're telling their story and their life's a wreck. And they're telling you about some bad decisions. And you think, hey, when she said that, didn't you think? I mean, when y'all went there, couldn't you see this come? Yeah?
Yeah.
And if you ask them, hey, was there anybody that cared about you that said, if you continue doing this, your world's going to blow up? Or, hey, when she talks like that, you need to pay attention to that. Or when he treats you like that, you need to pay. Weren't there people that said that to you?
Yeah,
yeah. So what'd you do? Nothing. Just kept going. Just hoping it'll all work out. Hey, let me help you. It never just all works out accidentally. That doesn't happen. But the simple, the naive, just keep going. And especially, you know who's really good at this? Religious people. Religious people are so good at this. Religious people confuse religious feelings with an authentic relationship with God. You can be in a service like this, and you can hear something that you need to hear, or I can hear something that I need to hear, and we think, oh, it's so true. And we feel convicted. And we feel like, man, that area of my life, I know I want to be here in my marriage. I want to be here with my finances. Or if you're not married, I want to be here in my career. Or maybe you're dating. I want to be here in my dating relationship. I want to be here in my parenting. But we're making choices that are going this way. And we hear about it and we think, so true. And because we feel convicted, we feel like we're closer to God. I had an experience with God today. I went to church and I felt terrible, so it must mean I met with God. Man, the pastor, he was talking right to me. It's like somebody told him my story and he knows what's going on in my life, and I feel bad, so I feel closer to God. It was a good day at church. It doesn't matter how you and I feel in here if nothing changes out of here. If all this is a moment, and that's why I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, life's busy. I think you're here. I know I'm here because I need to hear something from God. I need God to do something in my life. And God uses you to encourage me, and God uses you to pray for me, and God uses our time together. And what I might share with you in 30 minutes, I've spent hours and hours and hours digesting. Most of the time, this is a secret. Most pastors won't tell you this probably. I'm going to tell you it's a secret. Don't tell anybody. You come and watch me talk to myself. That's what's happening. Because everything I'm talking about applies to my life. You just get to watch me talk to myself. Sometimes people say, hey, were you talking to me? No, I was talking to me. Now, if it applies to you, man, go get them, sir. That's fine. You put that saddle on the horse and you ride it. But if it doesn't apply, don't worry about it. Because we're way too easily offended, but that's a different message, different message, different message. It's all the rage to be outraged about everything today. Here's the reality. Feeling bad and feeling convicted. God does not convict you to make you feel like you suck in life. When you feel convicted, it's God saying, hey, here's an area of your life I'd like to change because you can have a better life than what you're living. See, when you're on the wrong path, when you get lost, if you're driving when you're on the wrong path, and you're lost, you might lose a few minutes or 2 or 3 hours. When you're on the wrong path in life, you lose years. And when you're in your 30s, you can't go back and redo your 20s. When you're in your first marriage, it's the only first marriage you're gonna have. When you're a senior in high school, you get to do that one time, some of you 2 or 3, but most of the time it's one shot. There are things in life that you get one opportunity. We don't get to do this again. And so when you and I spend time wanting to be here but going in that direction, we lose years. And religious people are okay just being confused. Religious people confuse religious feelings with an authentic relationship with God. Religious simple people think feeling convicted makes them close to God. It doesn't. If anything, it drives you further away. If all you do is feel convicted and you do nothing with it, you begin to drift further and further away. Because the scripture teaches that God uses the Holy Spirit in your life and mine. It's the Holy Spirit that speaks to our hearts. It's the Holy Spirit that draws us. The Bible says that no one can even come to know the Father in a personal way unless the Holy Spirit draws them. It's the Holy Spirit that does the work in our lives. But the scripture also teaches that you can come to the place in life where God's trying to show you something and convict you of something and show me something and convict me of something. And if I say, okay, God, yeah, not now, not now, not now, later, God, not now, later. The Bible says I can actually reach a place where God will remove the Holy Spirit from influencing me anymore. The biblical term is called Ichabod. It's what God will write over the doors of a church where he removes his spirit from having any influence anymore. So what you used to feel bad about, you don't feel that bad about anymore. And you think it's because it's okay. No, it's because God has tried over and over and over again to speak something into your life, and you just kept rejecting it, and God finally says, fine, if you want it that way, you can have it. That's why there will be people that don't spend eternity with God in heaven forever and ever, because he's just saying to them, look, you lived your entire life not wanting this. Fine, I'll give you what you want. I want to encourage you to allow what happens in this room to be a moment that creates a momentum in your life. Do something about what you feel in this room. If you're having a conversation with a friend that's a Christ follower and they're sharing some verses with you and it kind of hits you, do something about what God is speaking into your life. Do something about it. God is speaking that into your life for a reason. It's so that you and I can live the life he created us to live. And when you ignore it, you miss that life. The prudent see danger and seek refuge. But sometimes the prudent look foolish. Sometimes the prudent look foolish. Because prudent people act like then is now. Prudent people look into the future and they discern, they try to live in wisdom, and they see what's coming if they continue on this path. So they're not evaluating things based on right now, they're evaluating things based on when it's going. And so if you try to live that kind of life, and there's a relationship that you need to end, or you decide, you know what, we're not married, I need to move out, or you begin to make decisions, but you know what, I should drink a little less. You know what, I don't need to go to that place because when I go to that place, this happens. I need to put some things in place in my life so that I can live the life God created me to live. When you do that, there will be people that are your friends that think you're foolish. They won't understand because they don't see what you see. All they see is right now. You're trying to live your life in a way that honors God. You're trying to look into the future. Hey. Most people don't do this. It's not normal. But I don't know if you've noticed this. In my humble opinion, I don't think normal is working. I don't want a normal marriage. I don't want a normal life. I don't want to be a normal parent. I don't want to be a normal friend. I don't want normal because I've seen normal and normal is not working. I want to be something more. I want to be what God created me to be. And so prudent people can look foolish, but here's the reality. You will look foolish right now to a few people, or you will look foolish to everybody later if you don't do it. The simple think and they feel, but they don't do anything, so they suffer. They pay the penalty. The language means they suffer great harm. I have to be honest with you. Most of the harm that has come into my life, the guy in the mirror created. We get really good at blaming people and circumstances in life, but most of the pain in my life, the guy that I look at in the mirror created it. You can't want this and go in that direction and expect to get there. And it's not just a moment. It's a path. Sir, you're married. And that single lady at the office comes by your cubicle on a regular basis and flirts with you a little bit and it feels good. It's not just a moment. It's a path. It's going somewhere. There was that occasion where you had lunch and it was a work lunch. And now she hints about just going to dinner and nobody has to know. It won't be a moment. It's a path. It's going somewhere. It goes somewhere every single time. The prudent people pay attention to that. They see the danger that can come and they take refuge. They do something about it. The simple, it'll be fine. Doesn't mean anything. Nobody's getting hurt. I mean, I know when to stop. I know when to put the brakes on. It's going to be fine. Do you know how many people I've talked to that their lives blew up, but they told me at one point they thought it'd be fine and they would never let that happen? Hey, and if you're a parent, hey, wake the freak up. Because there are kids along for the ride, and when you hurt you, you hurt the people you love the most as well. Stop acting like you don't have responsibility and there aren't people that look to you. They don't need a friend. They need a mom and a dad that act like they know God and want to live that way. Just begin to make some the changes you need to make. Don't try to be cool. Try to follow Jesus. He'll take care of everything else. It doesn't matter if you fit in with teenagers. If you're an adult and you want to fit in with teenagers, you're weird. Stop it. If the goal of your life is for teenagers to like you, you're messed up. I just love you enough to tell you. And you can get mad at me all you want to. That's fine. I'm not going to stop loving you and telling you what I think the truth is. And you can agree or disagree. You can be right or wrong. It's up to you. But listen, the simple think and they feel, but they don't do anything, so they suffer. Here's why it matters. There are points at which there is no return. There are points where all the options are bad. Ma'am, once you're pregnant, that's not the time to think, should I marry him? You had better options earlier, but you just kept going. Once you're addicted, it's not the time to think, should I start doing this? You had better options earlier. So here's what happens. God shows you something in your life. God shows me something in my life. And if I ignore it and don't pay attention, the further I go down that road, the less good options I will have. This morning, some of you are in that spot. You feel like all the options are bad. But whatever they are, they're better today than they will be in a year. It's better now than it will be later. And some of you, you're not at the place where there are bad options yet. You still have a couple of good options. Maybe you're here today just because God knows that and he wants you to hear that so that you don't have to suffer harm. It'll just work out. You can't break principles. You don't break principles. Principles break you. There's some things God has put in place that are just true for all time. There's the principle of gravity. You can't jump off a building and say, well, it'll be fine. Oh, it won't. This is why when we're born, we're little bitty. If we fall, it's not that far. We'll be all right. And we learn as we grow up. There's the principle of gravity. You won't break the principle of gravity, but it can break you. The principle of the path is the same. It's your direction that determines your destination. Every single time. So, what area of your life do you want this? But you know the choices you're making are leading you that way. You have the best options today that you will ever have. You may need to stop that. You may need to start that. You may need to move out. You may need to get married. You may need to end some friendships. You may need to begin some friendships. What do you need to do so that the you of 5 years from now will give the you of today a standing ovation? Because some of you may look back at this day as the moment. This was the moment where in my heart, I knew. And it doesn't even matter where you were. Doesn't even matter who was talking. Because it's not about who's talking. Listen, you don't need me to get to God. It's just a moment where God spoke something in your heart and it's a connection with you and him. And this will be the day that you look back on to know, man, God spoke to me that day. And finally, I stopped just agreeing and I did something. The prudent or wise see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. It's foolish to respond to today. The wise respond to tomorrow. It's foolish to evaluate your relationship on how it is today. Evaluate your relationship on where it's going. It's foolish to evaluate your finances on where they are today. Even if they're bad, they're moving in a direction. Evaluate them on where they're going. Because it's not a moment, it's a path. And relationships are always moving and growing. If you and I applied this one verse to our relationships, to our friendships, to our marriage, if you're single, to your dating, if you're a parent, to your parenting, if you're a kid, to your parents, if we applied this, it would radically improve our relationships. Because relationships are always moving. We're moving closer together or further apart all the time. We're never stagnant. The other area that it can have major traction in life is in our finances. If I could get everybody in this room that's a follower of Jesus to do two things financially, it would be this. The first one would be to tithe. Now, I know. You think I said that because I'm a pastor and I want your money. And you think, oh, of course he's going to say tithe. Wait, why is he coming on the floor? They're going to start passing offering buckets? What are they doing right now? You think I say that because I want your money. Let me just help you with that once and for all. I don't want your money. I don't give a good rip if you tie it to C3 or some other church. If you think I have some ulterior motive, then please just start tithing to another church. You can still come here because it's the best church, and at some point you've got to reconcile that. But listen, this is not about what I want from you. It's what I want for you. And your life will never be as blessed as it could be when you spend your life robbing God. This is not complicated. God said, it all belongs to me. I am your provider. I am your protector. I'm not asking you to give me something. It's all mine. I'm asking you to bring back the 10%. I'm so glad you're here today. God bless you. Man, you're awesome. You just help me. You help me. Listen, this stuff matters. So if you were God, would you bless somebody that robs you? So, man, if I could get everybody that's a follower of Jesus, by the way, being a follower of Jesus implies that I'm following the teachings of Jesus. And he said, the first 10%, wait, that's Old Testament. No. In Matthew, Jesus confirmed it, New Testament. The first 10% belongs to the local church. Man, begin tithing. You don't understand, I'm in debt. Yeah, that's the second thing. If I could get everybody to do something. Second thing, the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. Here's what you may have to do. You may have to sell some stuff. You may have to drive a cheaper car or live in a smaller house. You may not need, hey, they're going to come out with a new one. You don't need it. You might want it, but you don't need it. And because some of you are in so much debt, you're generous in your heart, but you're not generous in your life. You want to, but you can't. Because your name is on a lot of computers and you're just a number and you owe a lot. The borrower, scripture says, is slave to the lender. And you're living like that. And you think, well, everybody does. No. Listen. You're going somewhere. It's not a mistake. It's not a decision. It's not a moment. It's a path. You're going somewhere. That direction, that area of your life, you're headed in a direction. So you may need to make a course correction. Well, man, how do I do that? I've got so much debt. Listen, the people with the most debt are the people that need to do the first thing the most. Because if I give God the first 10% and he promises his blessing and his protection, then he's with me. Listen, you need God's protection. You need God partnering with you financially more than anybody else if you're in debt. Why would you not? And I am dead dog serious. If you think there's an ulterior motive, Please, this is not about what I want from you. It's what I want for you. Begin tithing to another church. Pick one. If you don't know one, we'll tell you. I can give you a list of them in Central Florida. Good churches. That's fine. Just start doing this for you because God will use it. So let me give you some ingredients very, very quickly. They're not steps. They're ingredients. If you decide to do this, man, I'm going to get off of this path. I'm going to try to discern. This is the path I want to be on. Be prudent, be wise, look into the future, make decisions based on what's coming and what's tomorrow going to happen, not just today. Here's some things that are going to happen. The first one is action. Action is an ingredient. You have to do something about what God speaks in your heart and life. You have to do something about it. It's not going to accidentally happen. You will not just drift there. You won't wake up one day and have arrived. You have to do something about it. The second thing, second ingredient, sacrifice. And this is why we don't do it. You're going to have to sacrifice something. As I said, you've got to sell something. You've got to end a relationship. You've got to make a tough decision. There will be an element of sacrifice when you make a course correction. How could there not be? You've been going that way, but you want to be here. There's going to be sacrifice. But, you can sacrifice now, or if you keep going, you'll sacrifice forever. You get to choose how you sacrifice. The third is embarrassment. There might be some embarrassment. There might be some people that think you're foolish. There might be some people that call you a fanatic. Your faith is too radical. There will be people, but don't place your trust in people who offer you advice on how to live, but they don't have to live with the consequences of their advice. It's between you and Jesus. You get to decide, because once you make the decision, you're the only one that has to live with the consequences. But there might be some embarrassment. You drive a car that you don't prefer. You live in a neighborhood where you wish you lived in a different one. But the fourth ingredient is relief. If you do that, there will be a moment where you breathe a sigh of relief because you made some wise decisions, a course correction that was difficult, and you had to backtrack and pick up some ground that you lost, but eventually you get here where you really want to be. The prudent see danger and take refuge. The prudent see danger and take refuge. But the simple keep going and pay the penalty. The prudent do something. And the simple or the naive don't do anything. They just keep going, even knowing the truth. So let me give you a prayer that you can pray. That you can pray every day, that as you pray this prayer and you think about this verse, can help you make the course correction, can help me make course corrections I need to make. Father, help me to see trouble coming long before it gets here. And please give me the wisdom to know what to do and give me the courage to do it. Man, you might want to write that down, take a picture, put it on your mirror, put it in your car. How would your life change? How would your marriage change? How would your friendships, your career, your finances, your parenting, your education, how would it change if you begin to pray this prayer every day? Father, help me to see trouble coming long before it gets here. And please give me the wisdom to know what to do. And give me the courage. It's not enough just to know what to do. Give me the courage to do it. In Jesus' name, how could your life change? Would you pray with me this morning?